Yes. It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for December 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. Ouray County has a new judge. Governor John Hickenlooper appointed Corey Jackson as the Ouray County Court Judge yesterday. The vacancy was due to the appointment of Judge David Westfall to the District 7 Judicial District. Corey Jackson is currently a sole practitioner at the Corey Jackson Company and the executive director, chairman, and co-founder of the Alpine Near Miss Survey, a nonprofit that collects information about possible dangers in the backcountry. About 100 people attended a forum Wednesday night on the economy of the North Fork Valley and what can be done to improve it. KBNF's Laura Pomisano was there and brings us this report.
13 people ranging from the president of a coal mine to the head of the Paonia Chamber of Commerce spoke at the forum.
We have our farms, we have our hunting resources.
They discuss business, tourism, recreation, agriculture, broadband, land use, and energy. They talked about how these industries intersect and could work together to boost the area's economy.
And so if you have that resource, we need to get you together and bring it to the table, so that people can start it.
The North Fork Valley is known for two main industries, agriculture and coal mining. Nationwide, the coal industry is suffering, and the valley has felt it too. In late October, 150 people were laid off at a local mine. Last year, nearly 300 coal miners in the area lost their jobs when Oxbow's Elk Creek mine closed in Somerset. Mike Ludlow, the president of Oxbow Mining, spoke at the forum. He says the future of coal in the North Fork is uncertain.
Everybody in the valley knows that the coal industry is extremely challenged right now. It's under the gun from environmental groups, government regulations, and an oversupply of coal in the United States and worldwide.
Other speakers at the forum expressed concern over another source of energy extraction that could come to the area.
The big threat that I've seen and that a lot of my fellow realtors have seen is the gas leases close into the valley.
Overall, most of the speakers say industry collaboration would benefit the North Fork Valley and faster internet would be a game changer. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Listen to the regional newscast this afternoon at 5:50 for an expanded report on the forum. School administrators can have a difficult time addressing bullying in their schools, but the problem can be compounded when students are able to harass each other anonymously. Yik Yak is a smartphone app that allows people to post messages to others nearby but remain completely anonymous. This is Dan Dougherty, the Director of Communications for District 51.
We did have, it was a minor problem, but it did come to our attention that a few kids were using a Yik Yak, which really clued us into what the app was all about and caused us to look for ways to limit its access on our campuses. In the hands of younger people and its anonymous nature makes it ripe for abuse and to foster some social bullying. So we wanted to make sure that it was blocked from our campuses and our campuses remain safe.
Dan got a helping hand from Yik Yak, who helped by using the GPS coordinates to put the schools in a dead zone where Yik Yak won't work. Dougherty and others in the district hope it will help prevent some bullying. And finally, Governor John Hickenlooper has apologized on behalf of the state of Colorado for the Sand Creek Massacre. The massacre happened in the early morning of November 29, 1864. U.S. cavalry soldiers converged on a sleeping group of mostly women, children, and elderly Cheyenne and Arapaho Indians. The 150-year-old event is one of the most notable incidents of violence against Native Americans in the history of the West. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
A crowd of hundreds gathered at the Capitol on Wednesday to mark the anniversary. Governor Hickenlooper read a passage from a letter written by Captain Silas Sewell. Sewell refused to participate in the attack.
It was hard to see little children on their knees, their brains beat out by men professing to be civilized. One squaw was wounded, and a fellow took a hatchet to finish her. She held her arms up to defend herself, and he cut one arm off, held the other with one hand, and dashed the hatchet through her brain. Soldiers used a toddler for target practice.
The tribes had set up their camp after leaders met for a conference to discuss peace. As Governor John Hickenlooper notes, chiefs waved an American and white flag to indicate that they were assured a safe encampment by U.S. authorities.
We should not be afraid to criticize and condemn that which is inexcusable. So I'm here to offer something that has been too long in coming. And on behalf of the state of Colorado, I want to apologize.
Hickenlooper says he consulted with all of Colorado's former living governors.
It goes back, stretches back 40 years, and each one of them agrees and in spirit is standing here beside me.
I knew about it, but I never actually been to the site or actually heard some of the stories like we heard today. It makes you open your eyes a little bit bigger and appreciate more things.
Brandon Knoll is a member of the Arapaho and Cheyenne tribes in Oklahoma. This was the first time he participated in the annual remembrance, which includes a 180-mile run from Sand Creek to the Capitol. He says the apology means a lot.
Showed us that they care, and they know, as well as we know, and, you know, put our heads together and try to make things better for everyone.
Participant Heather White Thunder is also from the Southern Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes in Oklahoma. White Thunder says she ran the equivalent of a marathon each day and says it was tough to battle the cold, the wind, and the elevation.
We're always told, you know, by our elders and our families that if it gets hard, you know, you pray because those ancestors are with you. You know, I'm doing it for my family and for my people, and you know, there's been a lot of recognition, which is good because it's taken like how many years later for this to be recognized, you know, by the state level.
In addition to the governor's formal apology, state lawmakers passed a resolution earlier this year to commemorate the 150th anniversary. Republican Representative Tim Dore of Elizabeth was the main sponsor. He represents Kiowa County, where the massacre took place.
We didn't have a resolution that's specifically for the Sand Creek Massacre. It's a sad and tragic piece of Colorado history. It has not been remembered and has not been taught in a way that I think it should be. And it's not a way to produce hate or hatred. It's a way that we need to educate it of man can be very evil and let evil take over. And we have to do a better job of making sure that that doesn't happen. And to do that, you need to know your history and know your past so that you don't repeat it in the future. 150 years ago is not that long ago in the reality of history. And we need to do all we can to always promote the dignity of human life and not be taking human life in needless and such murderous ways.
Congress has also created the Sand Creek Massacre National Historic Site. It opened in 2007. Native Americans say they hope people will learn more about the events of that day, and it can lead to a brighter future. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Western Slope Skies with Brian Cashin, followed by Alan and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.